Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find resources and training to help you get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Hello.
That sounded like a very neighborly. Meetings. It was like a neighborly hello, like a Mr. Rogers hello.
I think awkward beginnings are the best. I think I'm trying to. From now on, I'm going to make all of my beginnings sound like a Simpson episode, and I'll be Ned Flanders. People say I look like Ned Flanders.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Maybe. I with the beard and stuff. Maybe. I don't know. You're not as nice as him, though.
Yeah, it's true.
Yes. But you're a lot deeper than he is, because his version of Christianity seems to be a little shallow.
Okay. I think he's a cartoon character, so I'm not quite sure that you should judge him as a cartoon character.
All right. Well, that's probably the first time I've thought theologically about The Simpsons, and probably the last. But you know, all right. Well, the when we think of church planting, typically you think type A people. Well, today's question, we're going to be talking about, can a non-type A person succeed in planting? But before we do that, you probably noticed a little bit of a quick intro into the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network before when you hit play on today's podcast. And that's because the New Churches Q&A podcast is a part of this network. So if you enjoy this podcast, you're going to enjoy all the other podcasts that are connected into this network. So be sure to look that up, and you're going to see that logo on the 5LQ podcast, on Ask Me Anything with J.D. Greer, on Making Disciples by Robbie Gallaty, on the Established Church podcast as well. So be sure to look up and subscribe to those other podcasts, because we share the same mission in serving the church and our mission of making disciples. Well, without further ado, we will address this question. And this question is it wasn't sent in via a voicemail, because yesterday night, at the time of this recording, I sent out a Twitter message, and I just wanted to see what questions would come in as it relates to church planting. And here it is from Andrew Watkins. Can a non-type A person succeed in church planting? If so, what advice would you have for them?
That's the only question you received, or is that the only question?
Well, we're gonna answer a few of the other ones on future episodes.
There's one guy who keeps tweeting, like a second time, he keeps tweeting me, how come you don't mention these listings, churches, these movements?
Well, is that in the list? Yeah, we'll address that on a future episode.
Okay. I am like, okay, dude. He must be part of that group. He really likes that group. I'm like, okay, will be. Okay, happy to. But I'm like, I get tweets like that all day. So keep sending over and over again. So I'm not going to respond, because I don't typically respond to, hey, tell me what you think about this group.
In anyway. 280 characters.
Exactly. With all the theological nuance and the missiological insight that is necessary. Yeah.
That's good.
I've lost my focus. Type
all
personalities.
Right. Can a non-type A person succeed in church planting?
Yeah, definitely. I think for sure. I think it's a question of, can a non, what's the type A mean? What does type A even mean? What does it mean to this person as well?
I mean, I'm thinking he's probably referring to that extroverted, charismatic personality, people attractor, this kind of verbose.
So everyone, you're describing some of my friends. But everyone has a sense. We have to turn that on. You can't walk into church, not greet anybody. And even introverts have that personality, you know? So I don't know what a great church planner, I mean, John Wooster, what a great church planner. And yet he's an introvert, and he's like the church planter of church planters. He's like the guru. And so he gets it done. Wooster works the room when he walks into a room. Then he goes home and he's quiet, I guess. I mean, I'm not an introvert, so I don't know.
Yeah, he's a learned extrovert, right? A learned extrovert. Who are some other church planners of note that people would recognize who are introverts, actually?
Gosh, I don't know. What do you, you don't know because in our interactions with people that tend to be on, you know, introverts can have that on their personality as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Extroverts don't turn off. They just stay on all the time. So it's hard to tell because I've got friends of Wooster. I don't know what he does at home or if that's the only reason I know, but we talked about introversion at one time. So that's why I know about him. But who else do I know? I know several. No names are coming to mind. But I would say you have to be able to exert social connections and engagement at appropriate times, appropriate ways. And that those times are not just on Sunday morning. You got to go meet people, see people, meet strangers and more. So if you can do that, this is going to sound terrible. It's a little like saying, can introvert being a salesperson? Well, the answer is yes. But they also relax and recharge by being alone. My wife's an introvert, so that's a great thing. Yeah. But it doesn't mean you can't have the rest of it as well. I don't see any reason.
No, that's a really good
now,
point.
You know, I went to extrovert, introvert, but type A is more and different than that. So type A tends to be seen more as the aggressive, go get it kind of thing. So I do think you need part of that for sure. It's interesting. We've been doing this interview with AJ from the startup, the startup podcast. So he's kind of not a type A personality, kind of got a, I don't know, is it B, type B personality, which is fine. Yet he's done well. Church has grown. People see him as loving and caring. People see type A people as used car salesmen sometimes. They don't see them as.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's a personal experience, I can tell you. So what are you? Do you put yourself as a type A or a type B?
You know, it's interesting to see how you define this. I just Googled type A and we'll put this in the show notes, but it's this hilarious cartoon where it's the picture of a mountain. Type A personality, you have the guy who is almost at the top and he's thinking because it's there. He's struggling, he made it to the top. And then on the type B personality, you have the cartoon character who is leaning, you know, sitting and resting and leaning against the mountain. And his thought bubble is because it's there.
Yeah. And my wife and I are total opposites on this. So today, this morning, I'm on the road. So we're talking on the phone and I'm a little stressed right now. I told you before we started that I'm a lot stressed. But I called my wife and she said, oh, I got nothing on my calendar today. So that's great. What are you going to catch up on things, fill it in? And she says, no, I'm going to relax.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I don't think that way. I'm thinking, what can I catch up on? What am I behind on? What should I do next? It's just different way we are.
Yeah. It's interesting. The fact that I like how you distinguished and differentiated extroverted introvertedness with type A, type B, because they are different things. Type A is kind of that competitive, time urgent, hostile, aggressive type of personality, whereas type B, like that cartoon, is more relaxed, patient, and easygoing. Now, the interesting thing here is I'm more of an introvert. I'm a learned extrovert. And I've had to learn how to turn that on. And there are different ways that I ended up learning how to do that. But when it comes to the type A, type B, I'm definitely more type A than type B.
Oh my gosh, you drive me nuts. You're so type A. You like text me, are you supposed to do this? And I'm like, no, we're not.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes you got something on your calendar and you just text me about it. And you're like, oh, you're the most type A person I've ever.
Hey, but I think that's what you like about me, don't you? Depends on the day, maybe.
Depends on the day. And today, if you called and you want to do interviews, I'm like, oh, no. No, I do. I do. I do. You get stuff done. Type A gets stuff done. So does type B's. You know, we all got to be who we are. And we've got to, and sometimes be who we're not naturally inclined to be. So I'm an extrovert. But sometimes I sit quietly in the dark. And I rest and I detach from other people.
Okay. If your sentence stopped with, I just sometimes sit quietly in the dark without explaining all the other stuff, I was like, dude, that's creepsters. All right. Well, I love the way that Andrew sent this question in, because sometimes we deal with stereotypes, right? And we're thinking about broad generalizations, thinking, oh, the church planter is an extroverted, type A, get things done kind of person. But when you think about the way church planting has transitioned and changed, and we've seen the rise and fall of a lot of different leaders, many of who were type A, very aggressive, very go get it done, their churches grew quite a bit. One of the things that pastors and leaders are beginning to think of is, okay, is that Superman model, is that hero model of church planting, that type A church planter, is that model dying? and actually being, you know, what's being replaced with it is more of a team model or more of type B personalities. What are your thoughts on that, I guess, generalization as well?
And who said that?
No, I'm just saying
that's not true at all. That's not true at all. I think type A personality, gosh, I'm in a book tour where we're talking about this. You know, I'm going to different churches and preaching. Pastors are friends of mine, sometimes mega churches. Some of them are exceedingly type A. And like there's some sort of team model that's replacing that? No. Are there some dangers to that? I think so. I think Don and I were talking about that recently. Another mega church pastor made bad choices, whatever word you want to use. And she said, this is my wife. I preach regularly at the oldest extant mega church in the world, at Moody Church. And she said to me that mega churches are causing some of this. Something is impacting this inside the mega church culture. And some of the system is creating some of these, or attracting some of the leaders that sometimes we don't need to be. We don't have that community that's needed and it's necessary.
Yeah. And bringing up the whole team model, I think it's how some people are trying to address that, right? I know there are several churches who, in light of, I guess, the sinful nature of our soul and the way that many of us default to that. And even if you look at a lot of pastors who have fallen, and I mean, when they started out in ministry, I mean, I guarantee you that that's not how they wanted it to end. And thankfully for many of them, God is rewriting their story and God is redeeming and renewing them. So it's not all over just because there was this big major fallout. But there are some churches who are saying, okay, in light of that, and in light of the fact that power tends to change people, we want to go about more of a team model. I mean, Austin Stone is probably the best example I could think of who actually, they model this really well.
Yeah, they do good stuff. I would say I want more than that. I think elders are key to that. You can still have a strong solo pastor, or lead solo pastor for that matter. But I think if you have strong elders that are around that person, that's key. I think that makes a difference. So I think there are ways to, all of us have a sin nature that combines with our leadership abilities or gifts. And so who speaks into that, how that's helped, how do we choose and act wisely? Those things really do matter. And I think if we can acknowledge that we're struggling in some areas, and in doing so, we can make decisions around us to keep us from making those mistakes and from falling, have people speak into our lives rather than get someone who says, don't do this, don't do that. I think that's a good
thing. That's great. Well, thanks again for listening in to the New Church's Q&A podcast. If you haven't yet left us a rating and review, we would deeply appreciate that. But if you have your podcasting app open, I would love for you to just type in the three letters EST. Now that stands for the Established Church Podcast, which Sam Rayner, Micah Fries, and Josh King co-host. And just like this podcast is really focused on church planting, multiplication, and multi-site, that podcast is really focused around the Established Church and issues surrounding the Established Church. So if you're a part of Established Church, if you're leading one, we do definitely want to encourage you to listen in to that podcast as well. Well, we'll catch you next time.